Amen. If you have your Bibles, would you turn with me to Malachi chapter 3? Malachi chapter 3, we're going to go back to it. And young people, thank you for that. And as I get older, I realize that more and more. All I need is Him. So thank you for that great message in music this morning. Well, the COVID season has changed a lot of things, no doubt about it. For me personally, I became a barber. That's right. This is number one all the way around, all right? Face, all down, Doc Comfort. I do it myself. I go in the mirror and start the old rate, the buzzer up, and boy, this is number one. And, you know, maybe evangelism doesn't work, I'll become a barber. I don't know. But besides that, it's been a good week, and we're looking forward to seeing what God's going to do in our hearts. And boy, what a great message last night from Dr. Beal. And powerful prayer, no doubt. There is a direct connection between revival and what we want this week and the amount of time we spend praying. Directly. We say it all the time in evangelism. Which churches have prepared for revival and which churches have not prepared for revival? And it comes down to this. It's not the building. It's not the grounds. It's not, hey, the decorations. It's which church family decided we got to pray and spend hours in prayer asking God to do something special. I hope that's true in your life, that if we ever decide to really change, that's what we're talking about in Malachi, isn't it? We're given this great principle, return unto me. And God says, I will return unto you. Man, what a great principle. But even though we've been unfaithful to Him, amen? Even though we've done things to blaspheme Him, even though we've been an abomination to Him, He says, you return to me. You take the initiative. And let me tell you, I'll do my part, and I'll return unto you. Matter of fact, and we saw yesterday what that looked like. What does it look like when God comes back and brings us that spirit of revival and we have a different life? He says, I'm going to crank open the windows of heaven and pour out the blessing, the state of being blessed upon my people. Wow. Man, that's worth working for right there. He says, I'm going to make your land be one that is plentiful and blessed. Matter of fact, nations around you are going to call you blessed. Whew. So what does it take to really get people to change? Number one, we said yesterday, God says, you're going to have to change the way you think about me. And we looked at chapter one. Unfortunately, we couldn't even get through the whole chapter. Okay? And we notice that these people had discipline without devotion. Oh, they had the action of, but they didn't have the commitment to. And if you read chapter 1, you know what's interesting? You see that God didn't really accept it. That's a problem. You know why? We got a lot of churches. They got the discipline, but they haven't got the devotion. And when we get up to heaven, we sit at the judgment seat of Christ, I'm going to tell you, there's going to be some tears. Why? Because God's going to say, I didn't accept that. Oh, you went to church. You went to Ambassador. You took Pentateuch. You took the different classes. But let me tell you, you didn't have the commitment to. You were just here. See how this relates to us all these years later? But we got to get to number two, because there's 3 points, and I'd really like to finish today. Look with me in chapter 3, verse number 13. Chapter 3, verse number 13, the Bible says, your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, remember the dialogue? God says something, the people say something. They respond to God's thought. Look what he says. But ye say, what have we spoken so much against thee? Look at verse 14. God said, ye have said, it is vain to serve God. Now notice this next phrase. And what profit is it that we have kept the ordinances? Father, we thank you for this morning. And Father, we pray that we could see ourselves the way you see us. Because, Father, we're never going to change. We're never going to return unto you until we see what you see in our lives. And so, Father, would you help us this morning? Would you illuminate through your Holy Spirit what you see in us that we need to change? For, Father, we've come this week for one purpose, to be revived. And so, Father, I pray that this morning that we would open our hearts and our minds to the Holy Spirit control this morning. Lord, do that spiritual surgery that I need in my life this morning. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Let me give you the second thing that I see that we need to change. God says you need to change the way you think about me. But number two, God says you need to change the way you value me. Did you notice what they said? Look with me in verse number 13. It says, what have we spoken so much against thee? Ye have said, God says, that they said, it is vain to serve God, and what profit is it? How brass is that? How disrespectful is that? How ungrateful of a people could it possibly be spoken? But you know what I find? If we're ever going to return back to God, you and I are going to have to change the way we value God. You say, what are you talking about? Have you ever had something in your life that has lost its value? Some of the staff and faculty that follow us on Facebook know that 2019, not 2020, but summer of 2019, I took off from my evangelistic tour, in which I go to Christian camps all across America, and I built a home. I built a home. I actually put an addition on a home. That would be the more accurate. Our home in Crown Point, Indiana, was built in 1874. Get that. Dr. Comfort was two, okay? 1874, not 1974. I mean, the Civil War just passed 10 years ago, all right? And so we had this old home, and obviously it has a lot of character. Matter of fact, our home was built as the mother-in-law's place of the oldest home in Crown Point, which was built in 1847, right next door. Well, in the process, we tore off everything that wasn't 1874, and we put a full basement on, and we went two stories up. Well, in the course of that, we had to obviously pay money for different things. And one of the things that we kind of went a little extra is the flooring. And many of you that don't understand, that's what I did for a living before I went into evangelism. And so this one particular floor in our mudroom, let me tell you, we spent way too much money on, all right? But I said, you know, it's really nice, and I think it's going to be really durable, and I'm going to pay the extra money, and it looks really good. I'm just going to go ahead and do it. So I sure enough went ahead and purchased it and put it all in. And boy, I tell you, Thomas, it looked beautiful. I mean, it was really nice and clean and everything. And then Brother Spencer, about 2 months in, somebody came in and scratched it. Now, prior to this, Miss Conley, I voluntarily vacuumed the mudroom. Now, get that. A man vacuuming the mudroom. That makes no logical sense, okay? Men don't do that. That's just something if the wife asked him, okay, but I did it before she asked. All the guys back here are like, boy, you were doing something weird. But as soon as the scratch got on the floor, I no longer vacuumed it. It lost its value, Brother Lucan. Now it's just like any other floor. It's got some dirt particles on it. It's a mud room. Hello? It's supposed to have dirt on it. That's why we call it the mud room. But what's the difference? Here it is. That room no longer had much value in it because things had changed. In our portion of Scripture, the people said to God, it's vain to serve the Lord. Can I say it this way? It's useless. It has no value. It's futile. Matter of fact, they don't stop. They should have just been quiet. Let God speak. Don't speak. You'll sound smarter. Okay? But they go on and they said this. What profit is it that we serve God? Why should we do it? There is no value. Now stop. Most of us in this room are thinking, finally, he's not preaching on a sin that I commit. But you know what I find? Here's what I find. That we no longer have the proper value of God. You and I start down a road of compromise. You say, what are you talking about, preacher? If you write things down, this is the statement I want you to write down. Here it is. Because we start on this road of compromise, you and I will try to place value in ourselves, get this, in order to obtain value from men. Did you get what I just said? I'll say it again. When we don't have the proper value of God, you and I will start down the road of compromise because you and I will start putting value in ourselves in order to obtain value from men. Now, we said it earlier, didn't we? If anybody's heard a message on Malachi, it's always been referred to, oh boy, the preacher's going to be preaching about tithing again because that's the only thing in the book of Malachi. Right? That's what we hear about the book of Malachi. But truthfully, they didn't have U.S. currency back then. But isn't it interesting that they no longer were bringing their tithes and offerings, which many times back then was, hey, a lamb, was maybe goats, was maybe a bull, was maybe a calf, was grain, was flour. Why? Because that's what they did. They didn't have $100 bills with Benjamin Franklin on them, okay? They didn't have that. But now they said, you know what? It's not smart. There's no value. It's futile to bring the best to God. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to keep that best lamb that I got. I'm going to make some lamb chops, and I'm going to invite my neighbors over, and we're going to have a lamb chop dinner. And let me tell you, they're going to be impressed with my ability to raise lambs. Convicting, isn't it? Now, circle of reasoning. Here we go. How many in this room believe that God is holy? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. That means without sin. Good, good, good. We always want to start on the firm foundation. We all agree. All right. How many of you believe that God is all-knowing? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Good, 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 good. How many of you believe that God makes no mistakes? Raise your hand. Good, good, good. We're all together. Now watch. If this holy, all-knowing, perfect God says that you are fearfully and wonderfully made, then why do we invest so much time, energy, and money trying to obtain value from men? You know what Ephesians 1 verse 6 says? You've been accepted amongst the beloved. It's God. Now get that. God has created us as human beings that are in need of affirmation and acceptance. Okay, I got that. Okay? We're not denying the fact. It's truth. And God has given us proper mediums for that to happen. Truth. often those mediums do not do that, so that we go out and try to find that acceptance and affirmation from different individuals or different things, and we get in trouble. Why? We're trying to obtain value from men instead of value from God, and we end up going down a road of compromise, and we get to the place where we say the very same thing that they say. What profit is it? It's vain to serve the Lord. There's no purpose. There's no reason to do this. This doesn't satisfy. And how often do we not get into the game? Did you hear what I just said? Of trying to appease man rather than God. Now, I'm not against someone eating healthy. I'm not against someone exercising. I'm not trying to say, hey, you're not right with God if you don't want to live a better life. I'm not saying that at all. Okay? Last time I checked, your body's the temple of the Holy Spirit. Last time I checked, you ought to be keeping this thing looking good. It's good to do that. There's nothing wrong with that. But listen, when it's our sole focus to appease man, we no longer value what God says. And here's what it is. We end up in the trap, the snare, the fear of man. And the Bible tells us that brings us death. And what happens is we sit at Ambassador Baptist College and we want that. We want to appease man. And before long, we're going down this road of compromise and we don't even care what God says. All we want to do is get Dr. Comfort's approval. Now, wait a minute. God's approval is far greater than Dr. Comfort's approval. He would tell you that. He's a sinner just like you. But the truth is, we never turn back to God. Because watch, we often never get to the place of having the proper value of God in our lives. You say, well, preacher, I don't feel like it. I don't feel accepted. I don't feel affirmed. I don't feel like, hey, that I get that in my life. Whether my parents aren't serving the Lord, or maybe my wife or whoever it is in your life that God intended for that to come from. Hey, listen. Sometimes in life, you're not going to feel it. But you know what your Bible says? We walk by faith and not by sight. Now, write this down. Sight is seeing as is. Sight is seeing as is. Faith is believing as is. Now, Thomas, I didn't tell you this, and I feel really bad I didn't tell you this, but I need you. Okay? Train. Choo-choo. Yeah, you. Yeah, that's you, Thomas. So, Thomas, I need you to come, and I need you to come, and I need you to walk from your seat right down here. Okay? Can you do that? Okay? Very good. I mean, his bachelor's degree is paid off. Yes. Look at him go. All right. So, did you notice? The man is very talented. Okay? He was able to get up from his seat and walk from there all the way down and sit by or stand right here, okay? So, by sight, seeing as is, he did a great job. Now, go back to your seat. Go ahead. Thank you, sir. All right. Now, once Tommy gets back to his seat, here's what I want you to do, Thomas. I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to stand up. And I want you to come back here. Back right to where you were, okay? So he's been here for 5 years now. He's kind of got the lay of the land. Yep, okay. But not so easy, obviously, okay? And so he's trying, okay? Oh, he knows what that is. So that's good. He's almost here. He's getting there. Oh, yeah, there you go. Okay. So now a little bit farther. Okay, stop. Okay, now you can open your eyes. Very good. Let's give him a round of applause, huh? Now, most of you would be like, oh, preacher, that's believing as is. Uh-uh. It's not. You know why he was able to do that? Because he was believing in himself. Go back to your seat, would you? He can already tell this isn't going to be good. Thomas, don't even sit in your seat, but close your eyes. Start spinning. So, when you have faith in yourself, hey, you don't have to fall over, kill yourself, okay? You can get a lot done. Hey, I believe in myself. That's how he made it. He had taken the journey before, and now he's taking the journey again. He's like, oh, I got this. This is no problem, because if I just do these steps, I know that I can make it. And so here's what we do. We try to have faith in ourselves, not in him. And before long, here's what happens. Well, there's a little casualty here and there, and we get a couple bumps and scratches. But let me tell you, we're still here. We still made it. Man, everything's great. Now watch. In reality, let's just be honest, young people, this is life. He's still spinning, isn't he? That's awesome, all right? Because in life, this is how it is. Wait a minute. Life is turning me back and around and up and down, and I don't even know which side's up. Why? Because I'm Ambassador Baptist College, and I can't pay my school bill, and I got all these issues going on, and I'm telling you what, my social life is terrible, and I don't know what's going on, and I don't know if I'll ever get married. I didn't mean that to you, bud. I'm just saying. And so this is reality. Now, Thomas, I want you to come back to the front of the auditorium. Now, watch. He's going to have a million bruises on his body before long. So you know what he has to do? He has to allow his Heavenly Father to guide him to this destination. See, it's no problem for Thomas to get where he needs to be when he allows the Father to lead him. It's no problem at all. But you know what it takes? It takes Thomas willing to put his faith in God rather than his feelings. You can be seated and open your eyes, okay? But the truth is, there's times in our life that we don't feel accepted. We don't feel that affirmation. And we get to the point where, you know what? I no longer value what God says. God says that I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. God says he's made no mistake. God says I am right where I need to be. But God, I don't feel like it. You know what it takes? You and I saying, okay, I don't walk by sight. As a child of God, I walk by faith, and I'm going to believe what God's word says is true. You know what that is? You having the proper value of God. See, these people didn't. It's not like they didn't know the truth. They didn't. It's not like they had never heard of tithing. It's not like they'd never heard of offerings. It's not like these people had never heard of the ordinances and the commandments that God had given. They had done that. As a matter of fact, many of them had memorized the Pentateuch. But you know what they said? It's vain to serve God. What profit is it that I serve God? What? And how often it comes creeping into our lives and we don't have the proper value of God, we start down that road of compromise. And we start putting value in ourselves, get this, in order to obtain value from men. And we no longer have the proper value of God. Look at the third thing, we'll be done. If we're ever going to return unto God, number one, God says you're going to have to change the way think about me. Number two, you're going to have to change the way you value me. But number three, look with me in verse number 7, this great chapter. Even from the days of your father are you gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Number three, you're going to have to change the way you obey him. You're going to have to change the way you obey me, God says. Now, in chapter 2, we haven't even gotten there yet, but we're going to try and peruse through it as quickly as possible. He speaks to the priest. Can I say today's vernacular? The preachers. He speaks to the priest and he's saying this. He's saying, hey, you guys got to change the way you obey me. You need to become faithful, or as I put it, change your faithfulness to the scriptures. Look with me in chapter 2, verse number 2. Let's pick it up there. It says, and if ye will not hear, and if ye will not lay it to heart, to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you and will curse your blessings. Yea, I have cursed them already because ye do not lay it to heart. Behold, I will corrupt your seed and spread dung upon your face, even the dung of the solemn feast, and one shall take you away with it. And ye shall know that I have sent this commandment unto you, that my covenant might be with the Levite, saith the Lord of hosts. My covenant was with him of life and peace, and I gave them to him for the fear with wherewith he feared me and was afraid before my name. The law of truth was in his mouth, and iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and iniquity, and did turn many away from iniquity. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth. For he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. That's all what it's supposed to be, but here's reality. Look at verse number 8. But ye are departed out of the way. Ye have caused many to stumble at the law. Ye have corrupted the covenant of Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore have I also made you contemptible and abased before all the people, according as ye have not kept my ways, notice this phrase, but have been partial in the law. Can I say what it means? I'm going to pick and choose what I want to obey. Well, this is good because this fits my lifestyle, but let me tell you, I ain't doing that. Well, I'm not going to, well, bless God, I'm not going to listen to rock music, amen. Boy, I can have an unforgiving spirit, it's just fine. Isn't it amazing? He says, you got to change the way you obey me. You got to change, you got to be faithful, change the faithfulness of the scriptures. You have decided to elevate. That's what the word partial means. It means I'm going to elevate certain things of the law, but I'm not going to elevate other things of the law. And so here it is. I'm just going to worship God the way I want to worship God. Brother Spencer, have you ever heard this before? Hello? We're there. You go outside this place. You go to the majority of Christianity, and you know what the common thing is? Well, that's how you guys do it, but this is how we do it. We all love God, so let's just, let's say it's okay. Wait a minute. It can't be okay. Matter of fact, if you came to Crown Point, Indiana, and you came to the church marquee of one particular church two blocks from my house, you would say this, you would see this, listen, theology on tap on Tuesday. Now, some of you are like, what's that mean? That means on Tuesday, you learn about God at the bar. Does that ring a bell to you? I mean, does that like, oh, that's good. The only thing good about it is alliteration. Now get that. Theology on tap on Tuesday? We got one that says Pastor Bill and beers at this bar. Now come on, folks. What has gone on? Here it is. We live in a world. Matter of fact, the Methodist church is right across the street from us. And they have just taken in an assistant pastor that is a lesbian. What? What's going on? Here's what's going on. We have not been faithful to the scriptures. Everybody is doing that which is right in their own eyes. And if we were worshiping us, it would be all right. But this worship has nothing to do with you, and it has all to do with Him. And that's why this book is so convicting. Why? Because we see people that are with discipline. They're worshiping God, but they don't have the devotion. And God says, uh-uh, I'm not accepting it. I didn't say it. He said it. And so what happens is, He's saying, if you're ever going to return unto me, then here's what's going to have to happen. You're going to have to change the way you think about me. You're going to have to change the way you value me. And you're going to have to change the way you obey me. But look, it gets better. He says, not only do you have to change, you have to be faithfulness of the scriptures. You've got to be faithfulness, change your faithfulness to your spouse. Look at verse 10 through verse number 16. Look what he says. He says, have we not all one Father? Have not one God created us? Why do we deal treacherously every man against his brother by profaning the covenant of our fathers? Judah hath dealt treacherously. What have they done? And an abomination is committed in Israel and in Jerusalem. For Judah hath profaned the holiness of the Lord. How did they do that? Which he loved and hath married the daughters of strange gods. Now listen. That's not right. Well, preacher, why isn't that right? Because that's what it said not to do in the law. God was concerned that if God's people would marry the heathens, that they would start taking up worship of the heathen nations, of the false gods, and he knew that he was the only real God. And so God says, wait a minute, I don't want you to do that. But these people did, and the Bible says they got rid of their wives, they put them away so that they can marry these women of strange gods. Now listen, that's not right. That's not how it's supposed to be. We're not supposed to do that. Well, preacher, it's just how it is. Now listen, I am not going to here to debate the divorce issue. I'm not. And remarried, I'm not here to debate that with you. But can I tell you this? If we want to return to God, he says you're going to have to change the way you obey me. You say, well, what else? He says, you got to change your faithfulness of your speech. Look at verse 17. Look what he says in 17. God says, ye have wearied the Lord with your words. Yet ye say, wherein have we wearied him? Now, you would think, wouldn't you, class, after all this dialogue, we would stop speaking eventually. We'd be like, okay, you're right, God, we're wrong, done. They don't. They say, wherein have we wearied him? I mean, honestly, God, we haven't done anything wrong. Look what God says. When ye say, everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord,
and he delighteth in them. Now get what they just said. Not those that decide to do righteous, those that decide to be holy are good, but those that decide to do evil are good, and get it. I love this. This is the way we say today, God's will for my life is. Like, we can't say anything else because you just used the words God's will. And so, they say, and he delights in us. Look what he says. He says, that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord and delighteth in. Where is the God of judgment? So they're saying this, hey, God, you must really not be upset with us because you delight in us. You told us that in your covenant. And we haven't faced any judgment. I don't know about you. I'm not a real smart guy. But at this point, I would not be hanging out next to a steel pole anywhere. I'm just afraid of a little thing called lightning. About 1,000,000 watts that could pretty much destroy anything. Okay? Do you see how brass they are? Do you see what they're saying? They're saying, I don't need to change the way I use my words, my tongue. I'm good. Matter of fact, he delights in me. Matter of fact, he likes me so much. Look, there's not been any judgment around here. We've done fine. Isn't it amazing? God says, return unto me. And even though you've done all these things against me, you've been unfaithful in the scriptures, you've been unfaithful to your spouse, you've been unfaithful with your speech, get this, if you'll change the way you obey me, I'll return to you. What? What a God we serve. Brother Doyle last night had us sing just the chorus of How Great They Are. Brother Doyle, I'd like on Friday morning, after the morning service, to sing that song. You say, well, why don't we sing it now? Here's why. We haven't fully gotten the concept yet. But I believe we're getting there. And let me tell you, the roof's going to come off this place if you start understanding how great he is. You know what you'll do? You'll turn back to him. You'll return back to him and you'll say, God, I don't know why you would give me a second chance. I don't know why you'd give me a third chance. I don't know why you'd give me a 500th chance. But let me tell you, God, I'm so thankful. God, I need to change the way I think about you. I need to change the way I value you. And God, I need to change the way I obey you. God, thank you so much that you're that great of a God to me. Would you bow with me?